The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the UAB Director's Chair. He's the athletic director for your UAB Blazers, Mark Ingram. I'm Tony Curry. Of course, we do this show every single week. You can hear it 5 days a week here on the Tony Curry Radio network of radio stations. Not to mention, of course, our podcast. Our podcast is doing fantastic at 19 shows, and there's well over 100,000 listeners throughout the week. You can listen to these things wherever you want, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Just check out UAB. And, of course, UABSports.com, UABSports.com. I'm losing my voice just a little bit. It's like week three of college football voice time for me.
You've been screaming at the television.
Well, you know, it's funny because I just got a new television. I had a big black line in the middle of my television for like the last couple of years. Man. It was just, and I got used to it, right? It didn't bother me anymore. But anyone that came and watched my TV were like, dude, what's wrong with your TV? I mean, you're a sports guy and you can't watch the game. So I went and got the new TV. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I was thinking to myself, I have never had laryngitis ever. Have you ever had laryngitis?
I don't think formally I've had laryngitis. No, I don't think diagnosed I've had it, but I don't, maybe. Like I've lost my voice.
Yeah. You have lost your voice?
Yeah.
Are you a yeller?
No.
Have you ever been a screamer, a yeller?
Not
like
really.
Even when you're a player, you never used to get fired up?
Oh, I'm fired up. That doesn't mean I got to scream about it.
Yeah. What was the best way for you to get your point across to, say, another player or a coach or during your playing times or even as an athletic director? How do you get your point across?
Yeah, you just beat them. I mean, you know, if you're trying to get your point across on the field, you know, you just go dominate the other player on the next play, and that pretty much shuts people up, and you score a touchdown, that always quiets the crowd, you know, same kind of thing. I've found that in the workplace, the person that raises their voice first loses. And I've certainly found that to be true in my marriage. And so I try not to ever, there's just no reason for it, you know. But when I first started working, I worked in football, and right out of school, I worked in football, and coaches sometimes, because they have to raise their voice on the practice field, mm-hmm. You just can't hear them. And it's not even about anger or any of that. It's just sheer volume. You know, some coaches have a hard time transitioning that to inside and using their inside voice. And sometimes they get kind of fired up because they don't, it's just like they can't flip the switch, you know, and just go to be Mr. Businessman. But I think there's less of that than there used to be. I mean, used to be, you go to, I remember in a recruiting meeting in my first year out of school, and one of our coaches literally got up and stood on the table because he was demanding that we sign this one guy.
Yeah.
You know, we have to sign this guy. He got physically stood on his chair and then got on the table. And it was like, what are you doing? It was ridiculous. And you know, that would tell a young man like me, like, I guess this is how people do things. And it's not.
No. It's amazing to me because whenever I watch coaches at the end of games, I see them screaming in the sidelines. I've been using my voice for 40 something years. And so I would, you know, when I went to concerts, I always made sure that I wasn't screaming so loud because I had to work the next day. But I do see coaches and they're screaming, and at the end of the games, they don't seem like they have any problems with their voice at all. And is it because coaches don't scream as much as they used to? I was thinking about this as well. It seems like coaches, they have to be hands off. Players can beat the hell out of each other. They can smack each other, and that's what they do during football games. Coaches, you know, I never forget when, you know, Nick Saban gave AJ the big smack on the ass, and he caught hell for it. I was like, come on, these are football players. They're good to go for that kind of stuff. But coaches, and I remember, you know, the coaches grabbing him by the face mask, and all of a sudden you just don't see that anymore. Which I guess is a good thing. But
well, and they've made it's a point of emphasis, and frankly, if a coach grabs a player by the face mask, we treat that like mortal sin.
Really?
Like you may lose your job over it kind of thing.
Really?
And it's like, yeah, it's crazy. To me, I think it's crazy. And it's not that I think – well, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that I think it's acceptable to physically abuse a player, but sometimes, they've got this headgear on. It's like blinders almost, and they got a cage in front of their face. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a coach, like, hey, man, I'm trying to, do you hear me? And then there's other times that there's a difference. And, but yeah, man, people used to grab our face masks all the time.
Yeah. That's not the way it happens anymore, is it?
No.
Who do you think yells more during a game, Trent Dilfer or Andy Kennedy?
Well, probably Andy, because he's trying to yell out defensive plays, offensive plays, all that kind of stuff. He's telling a player to get in position, and he's doing that actively from the court. The head coach is the only one that's supposed to stand up in basketball.
Yeah.
So he's got to direct all.
That's not a penalty, is it? I mean, it's not a penalty if you have another guy. No.
Oh, if the others do, it can be.
Really?
The officials will tell them to sit down.
Who is the who's the assistant? Kind of a heavyset guy that's always next to Andy.
Well, I don't want to answer that question.
Well, I didn't mean to say he's. I mean, heavy say he's just a. He's a big guy.
He's a fuller figured fellow like myself.
Yes,
his name is Ryan Cross.
Ryan Cross. No, not to say Ryan. He's a good looking guy, but because I see him as much as I see Andy, and he's a big guy.
Well, I'm not saying that they don't stand up.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they're not supposed to, and if they do, the officials will tell them to sit down. And I think I don't know how many warnings they can get before it does become a penalty, but it can become a penalty. Like I don't think they call it a sideline warning. Maybe they do, but a bench warning or something like that. And you've heard that before, a bench warning. And that's what that's about, is that the whole team stands up and they got to sit them down, they can't get them to sit down. And so they got to blow the whistle and go, UAB or whoever has received a bench warning. And
I've always wanted to be.
It's pretty quiet. I mean, we've seen him get fired up, but he's these guys are on a headset. That's the new difference too, is they can communicate to the quarterback through the headset.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to scream. I don't have to scream in football the way I used to, because I got this thing here and I'm just telling you, hey man, this is what we're going to run. We're going to run split right.
I always wanted to be a fly on the wall or in the same room with Ryan and Coach Kennedy, because it seems like they're really, really tight. And I know that because whenever I see Coach Kennedy, when he's not in a working situation, maybe he's watching another team play, I usually see Ryan sitting right next to him. And I know they're working together, and it seems like they have a really good relationship. So that's a good thing. He's the UAB Athletic Director, Mark Ingham, joins us every single week, the UAB Director's Chair, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. It's been several days. Your takeaways from the Navy game was closer than a lot of people thought. Yeah. Offensively speaking, I thought the team looked a lot better. For some reason, Navy, defensively speaking, has had UAB's number the last couple of years. At least UAB got them down the football field a little bit, and that certainly made it much more competitive.
Yeah, look, Navy's a very good team. Them and South Florida are the two teams that are picked to win the league. And fortunately, we get to play them both. Mm-hmm. And Memphis would be the other one who we also get to play. I don't want to take too much value in losing, but I was pleased that, one, Navy is incredibly hard to stop. And we got, I think, three stops. We forced a field goal in the second quarter. And we forced them to punt, I think, twice. And I'm going from memory now, but I know it was at least once. And candidly, I wasn't sure that we'd be able to stop them. They're just hard to stop.
Yeah.
They do really well. They eat up the clock.
Does it drive you crazy? I mean, the Horvath kid is great. I mean, I've been watching the last couple of years, but I mean, they rushed for 460 something yards the game before yours. And it's just like, when they're going to run the ball, but you're talking about seven or eight different ways to run the football. It's not like we're just handing the ball off here. There's like six or seven different ways, and that's what makes it so difficult to stop. Correct.
Your misdirection is incredible. I mean, I'm at the game and I was having a hard time following where's the ball.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm watching the game. I'm watching live in person, and I was having a hard time. They're wearing Navy shirts with Navy pants, and that ball is brown, and it was just hard to.
Oh, the cameraman was off too. Yeah, I mean, it's Harlem Globetrotters, man. It really is sometimes.
But So not to point out obvious plays, because it's unfair to these people, because there's missed blocks or missed tackles during the game that some of us as fans don't see. So you see things like missed field goals, but we hold Navy impressively to a field goal. So it's 21-21. We hold them to a field goal. There's 5 minutes and change left on the clock. They kick off to us. And I'm thinking, man, if we could now, that's the break. That might be the break we need. If we could go the other way and score a touchdown in a perfect world, if we could score a touchdown and leave no time on the clock, well, that'd be hard to do. But we go in up at the half, up four, and we get the ball coming out.
Yeah.
Boy, if we could score a touchdown again, now you're up 11.
Yeah.
And now Navy's in a spot they don't want to be. Well, we almost do that. We go to the other end, and we did not score a touchdown. We kicked another field goal, which we made. But we did not leave any time on the clock. And I think that there should be a lot of credit given for that, because it's hard to manage the clock just right like that. And we did. So then we come out the second half. We get the ball first. I'm like, okay, let's go score. We kick a field goal and miss. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that was the moment, right? But that's when Navy gets the ball, but we force them to punt. They got maybe one first down, but then we forced them to punt. And I think it was their first punt of the year. And so they pin us deep. We get the ball on like the 10 or 12 yard line, but we get a first down. So we're out around the 20-ish, I don't know. And it was the next play or second play after that. We have about an 8 yard pickup. And our receiver is he's not holding the ball out here. He's actually got two hands on it, but not quite tight enough. And give credit where credit is due, man. They made a great play and punched it out. And so now they get the ball on, I don't know, our 25, 27 yard line, something like that. And that's how they scored their first touchdown.
Yeah.
And they only scored two, I think, in that half. And maybe it was more than that. Maybe it was two and a field goal. But I mean, you know, we played a lot better defensively than most people probably thought we would. Mm-hmm. We've still got to figure out a way to prevent some of these big plays from happening. They had, again, some terrific misdirection stuff that I think some of our guys got lost on a wheel route or something. And they, you know, tight end kind of ends up wide open, you know, and it's just, again, it's what Navy does so well. We gotta clean that up, but I feel like we're playing better on defense, and offensively we continue to play really well. And Navy's defense is good. You know, Brian Newberry, their head coach, was their defensive coordinator, and their offensive coordinator was the head coach at Mercer, mm-hmm. Drew Cronick, a guy who played at Georgia around the time that he and I are about the same age, and you know, so they've got two head coaches, you know. Running the offense and the defense, and it shows, just like what they specialize in. And so, you know, all hats off to Navy, but I thought our guys played really well. The two interceptions late, I think, were a result of, you know, it really started to continue to rain. And we, I think Jalen probably forced a couple of balls that, going back to, had we made that field goal or had we scored that touchdown instead of that field goal.
And it's amazing how it plays out, particularly against a team that's going to run the ball a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Now we got to start throwing it. And look, we're good at throwing it, but now we got to throw it, which they know we got to throw it. And that changed the way they defend it.
Yeah. Well, a bit of a happy pill coming this weekend. You got a team that has not scored a point yet this year. They played Nebraska and Wyoming. They've been outscored 7-8-0. I think that's a surprise to a lot of folks. And I, for some reason, I was reading one of these tout services, and they had the Akron Zips to actually get the cover against Nebraska. And I think they were really surprised that you know, obviously they came up with a goose egg. And then here comes UAB. You're favored by, 10.5, 11 points. Should be a victory on paper, but that's why we play the game.
Well, yeah, that's why you got to play the game. I think I don't think the Nebraska game is indicative of anything. I just think when you look at some of the scores, and there's a lot, it feels like more this year, people scoring in the 60s and 70s already, a bunch of teams doing that. I don't think that's a fair indicator for what Akron is or isn't. 10-0 to Wyoming. So then the question is, how good is Wyoming? And I don't know the answer to that. Some years Wyoming is, you know, really competitive and not. So I don't know enough about what Wyoming has. So I think what we've got to do is we've got to ignore that the best of our ability, and we got to go play like we did against Navy. Now, look, we go play like we did against Navy, we're going to win that football game.
Yeah.
So that's what we got to do every game. Because, again, I thought we played pretty darn good against Navy. We certainly had things to fix, but we were much improved from week one to week two. And, going back to week one, I was just having a conversation with Trent the other day, and he said something. I just said, boy, that guy from Alabama State, I'm not sure we'll play a quarterback as good as him. And he said, we won't. He said, the guy at South Florida is incredible. And he goes, but I'm not sure he's better. And I said, yeah, you know, really, you think of that? And he says, that kid for Alabama State, did you know that he ranks third in the history of Texas high school football? Third, wow, whole time in like passing yards or something.
Wow. And he's at Alabama State. How about that?
Total offensive yards or something. Yeah, I don't know how, you know, he ended up at Alabama State. I don't know. I don't even know how big the guy is or how big maybe he was or wasn't at the time. But yeah, third all time.
Yeah.
In the state of Texas. History, Texas high school football for offensive productivity or something. I was like, what?
We
knew that, but
yeah, we got a show called K4 Wins. It's a handicapping show. It's a gambling show, if you want to call it that. And so we break down games. We look at things, and I love doing it because it helps me look at almost every single team that plays almost every single weekend. So it's making me knowledgeable of not only the game, but the plays and everything else. And someone brought up the point the other day that it seems like there's more parity, without using the word parity, in college football. Now, we've only been through 2 weeks, okay? You know, we had seven teams last week that were playing FCF squads, seven top 25 teams. And I think half of them didn't even make 40 points. And we see that every year. We see it every year. Yeah. You see the Penn State beating Austin Peay by 30 and you're like, well, they should have been favored by just because they're favored by 70. And the chances are they're not even putting their playbook out there. That's why I think you're seeing Georgia, Tennessee this weekend. Georgia's small favorite against Tennessee. I don't think we've seen anything from Georgia yet. They're used to be playing Clemson to kick off the season. They usually had to throw the book out there. They haven't thrown anything. And he brought up the point that maybe because of the NIL, more players are getting opportunities to go play for some of these smaller schools and make a bigger impact. Do you see that, or do you have that feeling, or do you see that in the future?
Well, look, you got South Florida just beating Florida. You've got Army after
a huge game against Miami this weekend too. I mean, if they beat Miami, look out.
Sure, but look at Army loses to
Tarleton State,
and then turns around and beats Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And Army would not be a product of what we're talking about. So I don't think it's not NIL, Tony. It's the transfer rule. Right now, these guys can transfer every single semester. In theory, based on the rule, you could be at 10 different schools in 5 years.
Yeah.
Permissibly and play immediately with no penalty, no sitting out, none of that. And so that's what it is. I think what you have, because guys don't have to sit out, you don't have people at the, you know, in the SEC and the Big Ten and so forth that are willing to wait very long. They're willing to wait a year, but they're not willing to wait more than about a year to get meaningful snaps or start. And so then they'll move. And they might move to another, you know, they might move from, let's just say, Tennessee to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
But at some point, these guys want to get on the field. And so you have a mix of the very best players from Division II and FCS that they grew 4 inches, or there's only so many spots, man. There's a lot of kids playing football. There's only so many spots. And they landed at the FCS, kind of like what we're talking about, the quarterback at Alabama State. It's just that there's only so many places to go, and then they go and they perform the way that they perform, and the next year they kind of move up. Then the guy from Mississippi State, Kansas State, whatever, decides I'm going to go to UAB. I got to get on the field, you know, because the guy who's starting in front of me is my same age or he's only 1 year older, and I'm not going to wait 4 years so I get one, you know, and. Back in my day, that's what you had to do because nobody wanted to sit out for a full year. It's just, and people did it, but boy, it was hard to do.
Yeah. Tell your boys not to be looking ahead. Okay. You got this Akron game this weekend. It's huge. I know you got Tennessee next weekend. I mean, you're playing an SEC squad. I'm sure a lot of kids want to.
So here's the tough thing, Tony.
Yeah.
You think to yourself, let's go back a week. we were embarrassed at home by Navy a year ago, and you're like, gosh, our team should be angry about that. Go up to Navy. God, go get them. Those guys are all gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
the dudes that came in, the 49 guys, they're like, I don't remember that. I wasn't here. I was somewhere else.
Please talk about that as a player. The revenge thing, because I heard that all week against Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin likes to put run scores up in the last four times they play Kentucky. Kentucky got him last year. I've heard about the Vanderbilt revenge. That lasts maybe for about 5 or 6 minutes, maybe the first 5 or 6 minutes of a game. And after that, it's the same thing.
For the fan has revenge because the fan was here.
But the fan's on the field. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
The players themselves, and this is nationwide, all levels, are so different. They don't have the same anger. You know, like I guarantee you that the inside the locker room, the Iron Bowl isn't what it was. And I can tell you, when I played at Tennessee, we look to that Alabama game the same way that Auburn does. Okay. Mm-hmm. That for us, that was this huge event. I'm telling you, they don't have it the same way. When we played Florida and Georgia, we had a bunch of guys that all played against each other and grouped together in high school. We were all angry and not me, but I mean, just, you know, the sense was of that. And these dudes don't have that same thing anymore. There's some of it, but you just don't have that revenge feeling because you weren't here. Most of us weren't here last year. Whatever that is that happened, it didn't happen to me. And so they don't have that same hate and that same burn. And here's where that matters is it's in your preparation. Mm-hmm. It's Sunday to Friday.
Yeah.
It's focused from Sunday to Friday. Most people get pretty intense to play the game. Yeah. They know that this is my opportunity to perform. I want to show up. But what you're trying to do is prepare so well that you can just go play and react and not have to think. You don't want guys out there going, wait, on this play, am I supposed to?
Yeah, no, Dan, there's no doubt.
Wait, am I supposed to block the nose guard? I'm supposed to help with the nose guard, or do I go straight to the linebacker? I can't remember and set up. And, you just kind of go out there and, you know, block anybody that gets in your way, and then the play doesn't work. Yeah. You know, that's what you're trying. If you prepare enough, then you're able to just react. You know what to do instinctively without having to think. And so that's why Sunday to Friday matters. But that revenge factor, that's where you see it, is in my intensity to lock in.
Well, get healthy this weekend, then we'll look at Tennessee the following week. UABSports.com.
We got a couple of guys we're hoping to get back over the next 2 to 3 weeks. So particularly on the defensive side of the ball will be helpful.
Good. UABSports.com. UABSports.com. The athletic director for your Blazers, he is Mark Ingram. Thank you, sir. We'll catch up next week.
All right, pal.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.